Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, the Old Testament reading focuses on a man by the name of Ahaz, and in the Gospel, it focuses on another man, by the name of Joseph. And so, in both cases, God offers Ahaz and Joseph a wonderful opportunity. He wants to be extremely generous with both of them, almost extravagantly generous. And so today I'd like to just look at the response that Ahaz gave to God and the response that Joseph gave to God and the implications for in their lives. So first of all, let's look at King Ahaz. Well, Ahaz was the king of Israel, and he became king of Israel at the age of 20. And when he became king, shortly afterwards, he was in a really deep pickle. At that time, the kingdom of Israel was divided in two. There was a southern kingdom with its own government and king. That was Ahaz. It was included Jerusalem. And then there was a northern part of Israel that had its own king and its own government. They were divided. And at that time, when Ahaz was the king, the northern king of Israel went and made an agreement or a treaty with the king of Damascus. And together, they attacked the southern part of the kingdom of Israel and wanted to conquer it. And they did inflict a great deal of damage. Scripture says that the southern kingdom lost over 100,000 soldiers in various battles, and nearly 200,000 people were sent into exile. But the northern kingdom and Damascus together were not strong enough to overcome Jerusalem. And so Ahaz and his government remain firmly intact. But Ahaz now is a little bit worried. He's a little bit fearful. And he's wondering what's going to happen if they attack again. Would they be strong enough to survive? So he's contemplating going way north to Assyria. Not Syria, but Assyria, which was a world power at the time, and make a treaty with them, so that they will protect the southern part of Israel. Now, Assyria at that time was what we call modern-day Iraq and Iran and part of Turkey. And just as King Ahaz is considering making this treaty, God sends the prophet Isaiah to him and says, "Don't do it. Don't enter into an agreement with or a treaty with or get closer to this pagan nation called Assyria, which happens to be so very powerful in the world today. Because if you do, it will end up corrupting the country of Israel, the faith of the people of Israel." And instead, God says through the prophet Isaiah, "Ahaz, just don't do anything. Just sit, be still, be quiet, and I will protect you and take care of you." And so Ahaz wavers, but he's not convinced. So God ups the ante. And he says through the prophet Isaiah, he says, "Ask God for a sign. Let it be as high as the heavens or as deep as the nether world." In other words, he's saying, "Ahaz, go big. Dare to dream big. Ask me for anything, even something extraordinary, something miraculous, something that you believe could never possibly be done. Just ask me, and I will do it for you." And in this way, I will prove to you that I am the God of the universe speaking to you through the message of Isaiah, and that I'm powerful enough to protect you from these two small countries in the north. And if you trust in me and do as I say, your country will be blessed and you will be protected. So what God is asking Ahaz to do is he's asking him to move out of his comfort zone. He's asking to open himself to what God wants to do in his life and for him. And so with this, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know what I would ask if God said to me, ask me for anything you want. I mean, what an invitation. But Ahaz then responds, very tragic response. He says simply, I will not ask. In other words, he's already made up his mind. He doesn't want to let God into his life. He's not willing to change. He wants to live life on his own terms. And so God respects his freedom and allows Ahaz to do what he wants. So Ahaz does enter into this treaty with Assyria. Assyria's influence does eventually corrupt the morals and the culture of the Jews in the south. And Ahaz goes down as one of the worst kings Israel ever had. And the Bible says that his kingship and his life were a failure. So when we do not allow God into our lives, when we want to live life on our own terms, when we choose to do what we want rather than what God has planned for our lives, we just end up making our lives far more difficult for ourselves, and we don't end up finding that peace and happiness we're looking for. And as I was reflecting on this, I thought to myself, you know, Gary, you were a little bit of a King Ahaz in your youth. because I remember when I was about in grade 11, maybe about 16 years old, in high school I took some sort of a career compatibility test, questionnaire. And from what I remember, it seemed like there were hundreds of questions. And it asked me everything from my likes and dislikes to my interests, to my personality, my character, my experiences, everything. And when all was said and done, the results came back, and the compatibility test said that I would be really well-suited to be a pastor. And I remember at the time looking at that thinking, what? That's crazy. I mean, I don't go to church. I don't pray. I don't know what I believe in God. This is just nuts, you know, and I just totally dismissed it. And for the next 12 years, I just tried to live life the way I wanted to. I pursued different studies, different jobs, different goals, and some of them did not work out and caused a lot of heartache in my life and cost a lot of money. Other things did work out, but after they worked out, I realized I wasn't satisfied. It wasn't quite the answer for me. So it wasn't until I was 28 years old and I finally went into the seminary that it just seemed that this was the right fit. I had found what I was looking for, and now, many years later, I'm really happy being a priest and can't imagine doing anything else in my life. So could have saved myself a lot of heartache and a lot of money if I would have just been a little bit more paid more attention to the signs that God was already giving me in high school. So that's Ahaz, who said, no, I will not ask. So let's fast forward 700 years to the time of Joseph. And like Ahaz, Joseph in this reading was in a really big pickle. He had just found out that the woman he loved, the woman he was engaged to, the woman he wanted to spend the rest of his life with, the woman he thought God was calling him to marry, was now pregnant, and the baby was not his. How could this have happened? What does this mean? You know, what do I do now? His heart and his life were really upside down and in a turmoil. And on the one hand, Joseph knew Mary to be a very holy woman, that she was so prayerful, so close to God, so pure and modest at all times. And even now, after this pregnancy thing had happened, she was filled with peace and goodness and kindness. There is no hint of regret or that she had done anything wrong. There was no hint of any other man in her life. In fact, for the last 3 months, she had been living with her cousin, St. Elizabeth, and Zachariah, and helping with Elizabeth's pregnancy. Surely, if there would have been cause for concern, they would have let him know, but nothing. It was simply unthinkable that Mary could even be capable of such a great sin against God and against him. And yet, Mary was pregnant. It didn't make any sense. And on the other hand, Joseph knew the scriptures very well. He would have known that the prophecies from the prophet Daniel foretold that the Messiah would be born at that point in time in history. In fact, all of Israel knew that, and even the surrounding countries were expecting the coming of a great king. And they knew that this Messiah would be someone very special. Could it be that Mary was the mother of the Messiah, and this was God's doing? In that case, Joseph felt, the saints say, felt totally unworthy to be involved in such an awesome event. He was just a poor, lowly carpenter. He had nothing to offer the Messiah. If this babe really is the Messiah, he needs somebody more than what Joseph could offer him. So whatever the truth of Mary's pregnancy, Joseph decided the best thing was just simply for him to withdraw. And so he would do it quietly to save Mary's life and the child's life and their reputation. But just when he decided to do so, God sends an angel to Joseph in a dream. And the angel tells him and says, Joseph, don't be afraid. Go ahead and take Mary to be your wife. The child that she's conceived is the work of God. The child is the Messiah. He will save the world from its sins. And God is asking you, Joseph, to play a very important part in what God is doing. You are to be the foster father of this child. You are to be the protector and the guide of this child and his mother. You are to be the head of the Holy Family. Joseph, will you allow God to do these things in your life? Will you cooperate with God's plan? Will you say yes to what God is asking of you? And so Joseph woke up, and he said yes. He took Mary to be his wife, and he accepted God's plans and desires for his life. And as a result, Joseph was greatly blessed. And with Joseph, God was able to accomplish a great deal of good in the world and for others. And so on this fourth Sunday of Advent, the readings, I think, are reminding us that God wants us to dream big. He wants us to go big. He wants to be generous and extravagant with each one of us. He wants to do great things in our lives and through our lives for others. He wants to grant all those deep desires of our heart because he's the one who put those desires in our heart anyway. And God wants to give us life and that we can have it even more abundantly now and in eternity. And God came to both Ahaz and Joseph with this desire. Ahaz said no. And he stuck to his no for the rest of his life. He wanted to live life on his terms, not God's. And he ended up introducing practices that brought moral and cultural harm to the people of Israel. And his own kingship and his own life ended in failure, according to the Bible. Joseph, on the other hand, he said yes to God. And he said yes to God throughout his life, and as a result, Joseph was richly blessed, and God was able to do great things in and through his life. And so let us today, as we get ready for Christmas, remind that God does want to give us his son, and give us his son more fully in our lives. Let us ask Joseph, who is the patron saint and the protector of the church, to pray for us, that we may have that grace to say yes to all that God desires to do in and through our lives.